would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And towards the end of our reading, I want to look particularly at a verse there. So Revelation, chapter 2. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and dash them to pieces like pottery. He's quoting from Psalm 2. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. 2024, you've made it to another year, and we want to praise God for that and not just take it for granted, because life is always a gift. And so as we enter into 2024, what should our attitude be? How should we enter into 2024? One of the great British heroes that we have is Winston Churchill. And in many ways, he exemplified what it was to be a leader, particularly through the darkness of the Second World War. And one of the points that one of his biographers brought out about his ability to lead was the way in his oratory, when he talked to people, the way he could bring two things together. He could bring realism about how dark the situation was. And particularly at the beginning of that war, it was a very dark situation. Britain was at one point standing pretty much alone. And then he brought the realism, and then he fused it with vision in the same breath. And that ability to combine realism and vision and with hope together is really what was so fueling his ability to speak to a people who faced darkness. And so when you come to the beginning of a new year, and as we use the lens of this particular scripture, somebody's trying to get into the church from the back, and as you use the lens of this scripture to look into 2024, I want you to see those two things, realism and a vision of hope. As Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus, in the book of Revelation, speaks to his church in the early part here in these letters, in this particular letter to the church in Thyatira, you see this combination coming together. Now, as we said, he had to speak to seven churches, and seven is one of those special numbers in the book of Revelation, picturing completeness. He's really speaking to all his church, not just then when John was writing it 2,000 years ago, but as a message for the church right till Christ returns again. And in those seven letters, you're getting a reflection of different churches and different stages of their experience, some with good points and only good points, and some with a mixture of good and bad. And Thyatira is one of those that's a mix of good and bad. But what it's promising here is that as he was holding out a future for them, and as he does so afresh this morning for us, he's promising a light that can shine into the darkest of places. The realism is there. There can be things that will be dark in 2024. But the vision of hope is also there, that there is a light, you see, particularly at the end of the chapter of our reading, that can shine into any darkness, and it's marked with the very victory of Jesus Christ himself. So what you see here, as you look in from verse 20, is a victory over the darkness. You see that victory because there's an authority given over darkness. And then you get that picture of the light in the midst of the darkness. And I want you to take these words and understand that this is Jesus Christ speaking to you today, to us corporately, yes, but to you individually as well. That whatever 2024 may bring, you need to see the reality and the power of this one who is speaking to you now and who can speak in these terms and can talk about victory even when things are really pretty complicated and pretty difficult in life. So let's look at that first of all, that victory in verse 20. You see there that the realism comes out. He talks to this church, blazing fire, and this amazing description of Jesus in verse 18. Verse 19, some good news. I know your deeds. It's always good to start with the good news, isn't it? And he says, yeah, there's a church. It's an amazing church. It's got love, deeds, faith, service, perseverance. You're doing now more than you did at the beginning. Great church to be part of, isn't it? But, verse 20, but nevertheless, he then comes out with this serious dose of realism. I have this against you. And then he talks about this false teacher, this Jezebel, that's language that goes back to the Old Testament, to one of the wicked queens in the Old Testament. And basically what it's particularly focused on is issues of teaching and immorality, all mixed in with the good things of verse 19. Now, I don't want to get into those details. I want to get to the end of the chapter, the end of this letter. But just this utter reality is encouraging in itself. That Jesus is going to talk about victory, but he does so in utter realism about the issues faced by his people. There is no really perfect church, and this was certainly not a perfect church. There were genuine problems within it. And the very fact that you then get this promise of victory and light is highlighted by the darkness and the issues that lay in this church. When you go to a jeweler's shop and you might want to buy your wife a diamond, say, a jeweler will take out that diamond and put it against a black cloth, a sable cloth, so that the very light will be reflected off the diamond more perfectly. You'll see every angle and every cut in it. You need that dark contrast to let the diamond's light come up. So when Jesus is speaking these words of victory, don't lose the context. This church had issues. This church has its issues. Every church has its issues. You have your issues. I have my issues. Nobody in this building today is perfect. Now, here's the funny thing. Some of you come in and say, oh, I look at the people in the church and they look like they've got life all together and they're all so happy. Praise God if that's true. But you would be surprised at how complicated life is really for most people. And then it can be complicated, not just by life and issues and general rigmarole of life, but by sin. There was false teaching here. There was immorality here. There was food being offered to idols. So there was compromising in their belief system. Everything was going on here. There was a need to repent, verse 21. There was an unwillingness to repent. There was suffering so that knock in life would cause repentance. All of these things were going on, and yet despite that, Jesus could offer hope. Despite these realities, these problems, he's talking in terms of victory. Victory that would come from where? The power of God. The authority of God. But to people as messed up as this, well, then the mercy of God as well. This is telling you a lot about who God is, that he could offer such victory and hope to a people who were clearly very far from perfect. In fact, it tells us there in verse 19, Jesus speaking, I know your deeds. He knows they're good ones in verse 19, but he can also turn around and say, I know all of your deeds, maybe the more hidden ones. Christ is with us this morning. Where else would he want to be? Because he loves us. You are his bride. He wants this new year to begin in his living presence. But he moves amongst us this morning. And he says to you, I know, I know. I know what you might be hiding from other people. Maybe things you even want to hide from yourself. Definitely you want to hide it from God. It could be in the very specific area of sin that was mentioned in Thyatira, of sexual sin and immorality, failure in that area. Could be in another area completely, in relationships or whatever it might be, but where sin has its ugly grip upon you. And he says to you this morning, I know. That's concerning. But there's also hope in that knowledge of Christ over our sin and our failure. Because he's still reaching out to us. He's still saying, look at how I can transform situations to the point that I can offer victory and hope even in the face of your inner battles with darkness. So, as you and I, as we each go into 2024, I want you to ask yourself, what baggage are you carrying from 2023 that really should stay there and not be carried into 24? What areas where you're really battling with sin and failing regularly? Areas in your character, the way you respond under pressure. Where are you short when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit and you're constantly failing there? Could 24 be different? Could you have a breakthrough in those areas? Yes, if you're willing to turn from those things and turn to Christ and seek help and seek counsel and seek support, seek accountability, and all the other ways and graces that Christ uses to bring victory, even in the face of the realism of our own darkness, our shortcomings, our issues, whatever they might be. And how important it is that we get ourselves sorted out before we play the role of a hypocrite and say, hey, we're Christians. We got the message that can save the world, and you need to believe in our Savior Jesus because he can fix you. Well, that's all true. But if this Jesus isn't fixing us, it's a bit rich to go and offer him to everybody else. Our life must measure up to our lips. And together then we extend through our life and our lips, then we can extend this victory, which isn't just about us, as you'll notice here, and among us, but amongst other people. He's describing this victory here in terms of verse 26, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Then he quotes from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm about Jesus as Messiah. And then just as I received authority from my Father, he's saying, I'm going to give authority too. So over the nations. Now that is about the missionary mandate to go into all the world and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to preach it to anyone and everyone. It doesn't mean that as the church gets this authority from Jesus as king, that we are to establish a theocracy on earth. You know what theocracy means? A democracy is the rule of the demos, the crowd. Theocracy is the rule of a theos, a god. We're not here to establish theocracies. We are here to establish the kingdom of God, which, as Jesus said, is not political, but spiritual. It has a huge impact in the here and now and transforms communities and countries, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And there's something here that he's saying that I'm giving to this church, no matter how many issues it has had, I'm going to extend my authority to it so that it can bring a light to those who need it. So when he says, I will give my authority over the nations, he's saying there's somebody who's already got authority over them, Satan. And what he does is he blinds people to the truth that God exists. or who Jesus Christ is. Don't ever think, if you're not a Christian today, that it's somehow some spiritual neutrality. You're just saying, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. No, no, you're blinded. That's what Scripture says. And that's 2,000 years of experience has shown to the church. People are blinded to the truth. But here's the thing. There's an authority given to those of us who are in Christ to proclaim Christ with such authority and power that lies can be ripped away, torn away, and suddenly eyes that were blind to all of this will suddenly see. So suddenly, you know, you've been coming to church for a few months or a few years, maybe for a long time, all your life. You're bored. All you want to do is be on your phone. You never listen. And then suddenly you begin to change. Suddenly it begins to penetrate and you're listening and you're gripped. And you say, that's me. He's talking about me. You see, what's happening there is this authority of Christ is coming through the church and is tearing away the lies over your eyes. And you're beginning to have them opened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 talks about how Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. But it's that very thing that now through your life and your lips, the words that you share, the authority of Christ comes through your life and your lips, and the lies can begin to evaporate. That is a victory. That will transform people's lives. And that's what you have in Christ. That's the victory. How does it come? Well, the second point, the authority is there. You have to have an authority in order to have a victory. And so, how does Jesus describe this authority over the nations? Verse 27, just as I have received authority from my Father, so you receive authority from Jesus. That's what he's saying. Now, how did Jesus receive authority from the Father? He had power without measure. He obeyed the Father. He lived in harmony with the Father's will. He submitted to his will. He said, thy will be done, even if it meant death on the cross for him. And that meant that there was a certainty because of that. Jesus really did receive authority from God. The resurrection proved that. It was God's way of saying, look, I accept everything Jesus has done, all his acts of obedience. And so now, whatever might concern us in 2024, you have to see that under the authority of God. And under that authority as it comes through Jesus into his people. What worries you about 24? Any concerns? It's an election year in America. You have to be concerned. The world is concerned. Your own family, health issues, uncertainty in your work. Maybe you're coming towards the end of your college or high school and thinking, what am I going to do next with my life? There's all kinds of concerns that can actually make this transition of a new year, 2024, maybe you're full of fear. Maybe 23 wasn't so good. Maybe you're thinking 24 is going to be worse. And that could be. You just don't know how it's going to work out. But here's the thing. To those who are walking with Christ, as he says, to those who are victorious, I give an authority. I give an authority that's comparable to the authority that I receive from my Father. And so, as Jesus knew God as Father, you can know God as Father. And when you know God as Father, you know the power behind the universe, the power that created all the galaxies of the universe, the power that formed every microorganism in your body. And he is personal. He's revealed. And he calls himself, tells you to call him Abba Father. That is amazing. And if you are really gripped by that truth, don't you think that should make a difference to how you look at 24? That your God is your heavenly Father, just in the same way as he was to Jesus Christ. And the utter confidence and power that Jesus demonstrated because of that is now being extended in through his church. Does that mean you'll understand everything that will happen to you in 2024? No. Does it mean that every prayer that you offer will be answered with a yes? Thankfully, no, because we ask for some dumb things in prayer. But does it mean that you can face 2024 with hope, realism, and vision fused together? Amen. Let me hear your amen. Yes, you're awake. That's the reality of what it is to be in a room right now with the risen Lord Jesus Christ walking amongst his church, as he did here amongst the 12, the seven candlesticks, which represented the church then, and he's saying, I will give my victory. To those who overcome, I will give my authority. His victory from his authority. And then what does it lead to? It leads to our effectiveness over the nations to fulfill the missionary mandate, to share your faith, to be active in telling other people about Jesus. For those of us who are going to be doing the connect groups, we're going to have to invite friends and invite neighbors to a meal and then share the gospel and then invite them to a Bible study every week. That's big for us. That could be overwhelming. I'm sure some of you are quite positively terrified. But the power, the authority, it all flows from the throne, but it flows through us. That means we should be able to do this with boldness, with confidence. Not looking at ourselves in the mirror, but at what Jesus will do through us. Friends, you don't have any excuses not to share your faith, because it isn't about what you do. It's what he does through you. And there'll be nothing that'll be more exciting to you than to see God use you to bring the light and love of Jesus to someone that you care about. It is rocket fuel to your faith when you see Jesus transforming people's lives. We all need to experience that as Christians. I think it's the gas that's lacking in the tank for so many of us. So no excuses. The authority is there. And what will it look like when you got this victory coming through this authority? He leaves you with a picture of what it looks like as you go into 2024. He says it's going to be like light in darkness. And he uses a very beautiful and a very specific picture at the very end of the letter. When he says in verse 28, I will also give that one the morning star. What's that all about? You know what the morning star is? It's the planet Venus. It would come and be seen clearly in the night sky, just before the sun rise, just before the dawn. And before the dawn is also what? It is the darkest moment of the night. And so in the very darkest moment, there's this promise of light, of the rising of the morning star. If you've ever been out in the darkness, so you're not in Tampa, no street lights, no cars driving past, somewhere out in the countryside, and you don't even, let's say your cell phone, run out of batteries. So there's no signal, and you don't even have the light on your cell phone, you're fried. You mean you really are in darkness. That is such a rare experience for modern people today, because we are physically attached to these things, aren't we? So There you are in a place with no light, no source of light, no source of communication, and you're walking along a road, and let's say it goes rough, so it's not even a smooth tarmac road, you're on a hill somewhere, you literally would not know where you're putting your next step. That's how dangerous it is to walk in the darkness. Anybody's been caught out in the hills or the mountains in total darkness, terrifying. If you can't even tell where your next footstep is going to take you. And it's into that situation that the promise of light is given at the darkest moment of the night. That's when the morning star is seen in the sky. The darkest moment. And he's saying, I will give you that light. And you say, well, that's nice when it comes, but what exactly is it? Well, that's easy because John tells us later on, chapter 22. In verse 16, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So to his people, he's giving what? His living presence. When is he giving it to them? In the darkest moment. He gives himself. And so as you go into 2024, are you hopeful? Have you got fears? What does he say to you? I am not going to give you anything less than this. I am going to give you myself. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. And when that truth lays its hands upon you and grips you, and you know that the light of the world is with you in the darkest of moments. So there's the realism and the vision. Then you can face anything in 2024 and beyond. That's all it's saying. How could he do that? Well, as we come in a moment to the bread and the wine, what are you literally tasting? In the bread for the body, the wine for the blood, you are tasting Christ's experience of darkness. He descended and fell into the darkest darkness of death itself when the Father turned his face away from him. And all he knew was utter hell. He couldn't get a greater darkness because no one had experienced a greater light than Jesus, the second person of the triune God. And then it was just dark. So when you take the bread and wine, think you're taking the very symbols of Christ's own experience of darkness and, in the same bite, in the same swallow, the very symbol of his victory over the darkness of our sin and alienation from God. From God. So taste and see. Because the story doesn't end with the brokenness of the bread and the wine. What happened after the cross? 3 days later, the light shone again. In the darkest moments for those disciples of Jesus, when they thought the game was over, Christ is risen. Friends, it's a living Jesus that you walk with today into 2024. A living Christ. His story, then, has now become your story by this massive bridge of faith and salvation and the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to walk with Jesus Christ today. You must turn to him, which means turning away from living life your way and now living life his way. You must turn from your own sin and instead take it and lay it at the feet of the cross and say, did you not die that these sins might be dealt with? And he will say, yes, I did. Come, follow me. And wherever your footsteps lead you in 24, there'll be another set of footsteps beside you. Or as the old footprints pictures to you, might only be one step of footprints when he actually has to carry you. But he will be with you. He who is the risen King of glory. He who is God over all. He who has the unique relationship with the Father and makes it now possible for you to enjoy the same. So, back to Churchill in conclusion. Here's a word that can lead us into 2024 because it combines those two things. The realism about darkness and sin and all that we might face, and the vision of hope. Between those two things, you can walk confidently in Christ and all that he may ask you to do this year. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then let's come and taste and see that God is good. Lord, as we come to this special moment when we want to eat the bread and drink the wine to remember Christ until he comes again, we pray that you would feed us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us such a confidence in your victory, a confidence in your authority, that no one will be able to shut us up about talking about how great you are. Lord, bless this moment now. Help us to be in awe of the fact that here are the elements that symbolize death, and yet we taste victory. Draw near to us, Lord. Whatever we may take from 23 that's not right, we want to leave it at this table when we come forward in a moment. Even if it helps us to visualize things in our life that we don't want to carry into 24, we just want to dump it at the table as we take the bread and the wine that symbolize having you. Lord, if there's something specific you want to show us this morning that you don't want us to carry, that you really want to deal with, show it to us in this moment in your presence. There's an area of weakness where we need strength. May we taste you afresh now and find strength in this living communion with you. Lord, hear us, we pray. Deal with us now, we pray. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.